Yeah, he is. Amen. 2 Samuel 6, 9 through 11. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How shall the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. How long? 3 months. And the Lord bless Obed-Edom and all of his household. You can be seated. Aaron and Josh, Ian, Chandler, we appreciate y'all. Man, worship is good. Ain't it? It's really good. The Ark of the Covenant, we've heard a lot about it. We've heard it preached about. We have probably witnessed movies about it. And there are people still today searching for and speculating about the Ark of the Covenant. There's a lot of theories, no good evidence, really. You know, every time they say they found Noah's Ark, you know, it's been going on for years, and they still say that, you know, we're fine. The Ark's here, the Ark's there. The Jewish tradition says that Josiah hid it, or it was destroyed. Some speculation is that it was the Masons got a hold of it and hid it. There's so many speculations about the Ark of the Covenant. But it's amazing that there are people still looking for that Ark. I think the reason is because it holds such a valuable place in Jewish history. Would you agree? From being in the tabernacle, from being in the temple, and God creating this Ark, this box, per se, that the priest would apply the blood to and the lid would become a mercy seat. And the things that were placed in it, the tablets, the word of God, the manna, the bread, and also Aaron's rod representing the priesthood. But David is bringing the ark back to the city of David. The ark represented the presence of God. Amen? The box was just a box. And without the presence of God, it was just a box. As a matter of fact, it didn't work quite the same for everybody that possessed the Ark of the Covenant. We know when they brought it into the Temple of Dagon, to you Bible readers, you know what happened to Dagon before the Ark of the Covenant. Not because the box was there, but because the presence of the Lord was there. And the Bible tells us that Dagon, that false god, fell on his face, amen? And they came in and they put Dagon back in his place. I've preached this for years, but I want to reiterate this. I don't need a God that I have to put in his place. I need a God that's able to put me back in my place, amen? Because I don't need that kind of God that I have to pick up. I need a God that can pick me up. Amen. So David was afraid, and he says this, and the wording in your scripture is very important. How shall the ark of the Lord come to me? How can this come to me? How can this happen? Now, we just came through the season of giving. Amen. And we received gifts. How many people in here was really excited about the wrapping? Nobody? How many people were excited about the box? How many people opened it up and said, "Awesome, cardboard. This is fantastic. Thank you so much." Now, how many people were excited about what was inside the box? How many people aren't excited about absolutely anything? Some of y'all didn't raise y'all's hand for any of that. Nah, not the paper, not the box, not even what was in it. I wasn't excited about any of it. It wasn't the box that you're really interested in. It was what was inside the box. But you know what's crazy is how much emphasis we put on the box. What they're looking for, Ellis, is the box. What they're searching for is the box. Because if they were looking for what was in the box, that is still available. All of that is still available right now. So the reason that they're searching for it is because they look to the exterior thinking that something on the outside is going to change things. But I want to preach something to you tonight. It's not about the box. It's about what's in the box. The key is what was in the ark. The key was the presence of God abiding with the box. Other than that, we're just a box. So let me say it like this. You have the treasure, but the treasure is in the earthen vessel. You know what we do? I know it's Wednesday, but I feel preachy. You know what we do? We put a lot of emphasis on the exterior. We put a lot of emphasis on the treasure, but on the earthen vessel. Can I get an amen? It's so much about the earthen vessel. But the truth is, it's not about the earthen vessel. It doesn't matter where you came from, what side of the tracks you were born on, what ethnicity you are. None of that matters to him. What matters is what's in the box. What matters is the treasure is in the earthen vessel. We put too much emphasis on the vessel and not what's in the vessel. I'm going to preach to you in a minute. Parallels throughout scripture amaze me. I love them. Because remember, when I got saved, I was a skeptic. And I wanted to make sure that I wasn't just a Christian because I grew up in a Christian nation and I grew up with a parent that was a Christian. Statistics say that whatever religion you are, it's because that's what your parents were. I didn't want to be that way. So I wanted to make sure that what I was doing wasn't because somebody else told me. So I began to search. I wanted to find out something more. I wanted to find out something deeper. Anybody with me? Because I wanted to get to that place where I knew that I knew that I knew. I just didn't want it to be handed down to me from somebody else. Now, the only way that I can help you with this is one day, it wasn't my doctrine. It wasn't my creed. It wasn't my philosophy. The one thing that done it for me was when I was filled with the Spirit, something about that changed me and I became born again. My doctrine didn't make me born again. My philosophy didn't make me born again. My apologetics didn't help me be born again. What made me born again was I was born again of the Holy Spirit. And when that Spirit came in me, something new began to change. It wasn't about the exterior anymore, Sam. It was about something on the inside was working on the outside and it made a change in me. Can I get a witness? It's the Spirit that brings life. The flesh profiteth nothing. Nothing. But we put a lot of emphasis on the vessel, on the box. But it's the treasure that's in the box. Let me prove it to you. Luke chapter 1, verse 39. Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judea. Where do you think David was taken that box to? I'll clue you in. Same place. Same place. Same mountain, same tent, same area. Watch this. And entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled. I don't know when it happened, but it happened. I don't know when it took place, but something took place. There came a shift in the church. When we started being so concerned about the doctrine and the apologetics that this verse doesn't mean quite as much as it used to. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. The key is not the vessel. The key is what's in the vessel. The key is, listen, I appreciate you being here tonight. You look great. Everybody looks good. Look at the person beside you. So you look nice tonight. you came out on a Wednesday night. You got ready. You fixed your hair if you have it. And that's great. But it's not the fact that we as vessels have came together. It's the fact that there is something living and moving inside of us that when we come together, listen to this, this is key, we become greater than the sum of our parts. Meaning there's a lot of talent in this church. Amen? Amen. A lot of talent. They can just sing. They can sing. We got amazing ministry. We got good Sunday school teachers. Man, it's just a talented group of people. But talent doesn't get it done. What gets it done is Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. The key is to be filled with the Spirit. I warn people. I've had people do this. Let me give you a little pastoral lesson. I had a guy come to me, and he talked to me. He said, "Hey, man, I would like for my wife to sing at church." And I said, "Is your wife filled with the Holy Spirit?" He said, "No." I said, "I wouldn't do that to her then." And he said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I mean this. When you enter into ministry, to be a deacon in the New Testament. You know what a deacon did in the New Testament? They served tables so that the apostles could give their life to the word." And he said, to be a deacon, to serve tables, to be a waiter in the kingdom. You know what he told them to do? Pick you out men that are full of the Holy Ghost. Why would they have to be full of the Holy Ghost? I'm going to tell you why. Because when you put yourself in a position to bless people, you put a target on your back and the enemy begins to recognize you. I said, "Man, I wouldn't do it." Because if she blesses somebody in the congregation, the enemy's going to pick up on that. And if she's not been filled with the Spirit of God, then she's going to try to fight an enemy that is alone. I'm telling you, it's important about what's in the vessel, not the talent of the vessel, but what's in the vessel. We love the box. We love the box. We like personalities. We like certain kind of temperaments. But you know what I think? And I think about this probably too much. There's going to be some people in heaven that I thought was grouchy. I'm not saying they'll be grouchy in heaven. I'm just saying there's going to be some people up there. You know what's funny? Did you think of somebody when I said that? Somebody came to your mind, didn't it? You know, you know why? Because we put emphasis on the box, not what's in the box. I don't know if y'all been listening in Sunday school or not, but we're learning about Paul. And I don't know if you've heard the word jerk come up several times in Sunday school. Paul said, "Hey, I'm coming to you, and I'll be a jerk." And I wanted to ask this in Sunday school so many times. Is it okay for a preacher to be a jerk? People were going, no. I know some that were. They were kind of hateful because we put it on, not hateful, not full of hate, but just grumpy. We put so much emphasis on the box. But I'm going to tell you something. Some of those people that come to my mind, they could just say the word hallelujah and change the atmosphere of an area. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Why? Because we got to look past the box and see what's in the box. Some of you people in here are nicer than others. I said, amen. Some people are just naturally nice. Some people are too nice. You ever been around somebody that's too nice? They're bubbly all the time. Somebody else came to your mind, right? You ever been around somebody that's oversaved? If you don't know them, you probably are them. It's just over. And here's what's crazy. Some of y'all fight to be nice every day. You struggle to be nice every day. And here's Miss... or Mr. Nicey Pants, I don't know what to call them. They're just so nice. Some people do easier by nature than what you do in your Christian walk. Am I making sense? It's like, man, I wish I could be. And the world's all about being kind, ain't it? Be kind, be kind, be kind, until you're not kind to them about their stuff, and then it's crazy. Then they don't be kind no more. Some of us do by nature what other people struggle to do with the Spirit's help. And you know what we look at? We look at the vessel. Always looking at the vessel. Let me prove this a little farther, okay? Enter into the house, filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Watch this. Listen to this. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Do you see something here? David began to inquire about the Ark of the Covenant. And he made this statement. How can this come to me? Elizabeth, the same wording. When the mother of Jesus shows up, the wording is, how? I mean, how can this come to me? The mother of my Lord should come to me. How can this, how is this happening? Do you see the, it's important. It's really important because there is a parallel here. And maybe some of you have already read it, studied it, picked up on it. But I want to bring a point to this. There is such a parallel here. Can I keep going? She says, for lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. I won't take you back to 2 Samuel, but I want to clarify something. David began to bring the ark of the covenant, the presence of God, to the city of David. He makes this statement. How is he going to come to me? How is this going to come to me? Now, when he brings it, he drops it off at the house of Obed-Edom. How long? 3 months. Is this coincidence? I think not. Because when Mary came to Elizabeth, if you don't know this, she was about 6 months pregnant. And I want to let you know how long she stayed there. She stayed there for 3 months. So I'm starting to see something here. How is this going to come to me? And it stays there for 3 months. Do you see this? Because this is so important. Why is it important? Because there is a whole church that has made it all about what was carrying Jesus. It's a whole religion that's all about the box. So much emphasis on what was carrying the Ark of the Covenant, but it's not about what was carrying it. It's about what was in the box. It's not about the vessel. It's about what's in the vessel. We got people all over the world that are praying to the vessel, and that vessel cannot answer one single prayer, but it's not about the vessel. I pray to what was in the vessel, and I want to let you know this. That was in the vessel is still alive. That which was in the vessel is still answering prayers. That was in the vessel is still healing, still delivering, still anointing, still, he's still alive. 3 months, 3 months. How shall it come? How shall it come? Boy, this is interesting. David. Oh, let me stop right here. While the ark was in the house of Obed-Edom, Obed-Edom was blessed. The only way we are going to walk in true blessing is when the presence is within us. It's crazy. I got this sermon. I've been wanting to preach it. For one purpose, to help us see something in all of this. People are still looking for that box. People are still praying to the other box. David got the presence. He goes back down to the house of Obed-Edom. He figures out the right way to do it. Study it when you get a chance. He figures out the right way to do it. David is bringing the presence of God back to the city of David. And let me tell you what he's doing. Anybody know? He's worshiping. He's dancing. And this is so awesome. If you do a word study on that word dancing, you know what he's doing? He is leaping. David is leaping. Oh, this is so good. Why? He is leaping and dancing because the Ark of the Covenant is in his presence. But we notice this. He is afraid. You know why he's afraid? Because, I don't want to get all night. Because when we deal in Old Testament and New Testament, things change. The presence or the Ark was outside of him. Elizabeth, the Spirit came within her. And when the Ark of the Covenant, what are you saying? I'm telling you this. Jesus is the Ark of the Covenant. Let me just sum it up for you. Jesus is the Ark. So they're out here looking. They're looking for a box to try to find the presence of God. Well, the presence of God came in a man, and that man's name was Jesus. And when he showed up, and listen to this, when she walked in, John, there was something took place in him. And you know what he began to do? He began to leap in her womb. David leapt, John leapt. Why? Because the Ark of the Covenant was in that place. If that don't make you shout, I don't know what will. Okay. I want you to see something. The languages in these verses is not by accident. The 3 months is not by accident. You know how I know that? Because nothing with God is accident. Everything God does is on purpose. He put some things in that ark. Those stone tablets were in the Ark of the Covenant. The Word of God was in Mary. Mary was just the box. The Word of God was in Mary. The bread, the manna, was in the Ark of the Covenant. The bread of life was in Mary. Aaron's rod was in the Ark of the Covenant. The priesthood, the eternal priesthood, the priesthood after the order of Melchizedek was in Mary. So it's not the Ark that I'm looking for. It's what was in the Ark. Okay, you ready? This is why I preach this to you tonight. Because we're putting too much emphasis on the box. Let me show you how this works. I have heard people that are overly confident. Nobody? Anybody come to mind? Let me say it like this. I know some arrogant people. I know some preachers that are arrogant. Anybody ever heard an arrogant preacher? They say things like this. I don't care if you like it or not, honey. Ah. Well, if you don't care if I like it or not, why are you preaching to me then? And then I've heard others that work like this. Doesn't? I'm a worm. I'm a wretch. I'm not even worthy to be up here before you tonight. I don't even know why I'm here. There are so much more qualified men in this room. You know what the problem with both of them are? They're putting too much emphasis on the box. You know, we do. The devil loves this. The devil loves the box. Kids love the box. Come on, you've heard it said before. I bought my kid this. You know what my kid played with? Anybody ever had a kid do that? This is the present. Why are you over there playing with the box? You know why? Because they're immature. As they grow, they learn it's not about the box. Yeah, it's good. When I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I put away playing with the box. I put that away because the gift is on the inside. So we see it because the enemy loves to put emphasis on the box. You know how I know this? Because we put a lot of pressure on ourselves as Christians. Can you say amen? If I could only do better in this area, you are concentrating on the box. What you're looking at is the weakness of the box. It's not about the vessel. When you realize, Johnny, what's in the vessel, and the most important thing is what's in the vessel will change because of what is in the vessel. The vessel doesn't get to change because of the vessel. The box doesn't get better by help of the box. The box gets better because what is in the box. Let me preach to you a minute. When we get the word of God put in us, when we get the bread of life down inside of us, and we understand that we are the priesthood, when we walk in, Aaron, it changes because it's not about the box. It's about what's in the box. And I'm telling you, if you got Jesus Christ living in your soul and you've been baptized with the Holy Ghost, then something in you changes what's around you. Let me get where you live. You ever been to the group of people and you felt something burning inside you and you didn't share it because you was afraid what they would think about your box? Say amen or oh me. You ever done that? I mean, you felt it. Something on the inside begin to burn inside you and you would not open your mouth? Well, they may not understand. They may not get it. Heard somebody say pride a little bit ago. You know what? Pride gets in our way a lot of times of letting out what's on inside. So when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, let me tell you what he did. They had been looking at the box. He showed them what was in the box. He put what was in the box on the outside of the box. And let me tell you what they seen. There was great light on that mountain. See, the problem is the devil's telling you you're a failure. Jesus is saying you're the light of the world. So where do you? Look at the person beside you right now and say, there's something great in you. Now tell them like you really meant it. Some of y'all, I could see your faces. You didn't mean that. You didn't mean that at all. But what the enemy puts all the emphasis on is this right here. It's the flesh. Because if we ever realize what's in him, we'll stop looking for him. Oh, yeah. Amen. Go ahead. You can clap for that. That's good stuff. That's worth clapping over. Stop listening to all the emphasis on the flesh. It's amazing to me that so many people pray to Mary, missing what she was carrying. There's something awesome in you. Come on, Aaron. We'll let y'all go early tonight. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe God's got something in store. Maybe somebody's just about to get up and run around the church and we're going to break out in revival. Everybody's like, not tonight. I seen it on your face. He's like, nah. Maybe in springtime when I feel better. I read one time, I don't know if it's true or not, but I read one time where most proposals happen in the springtime. Isn't that interesting? Everybody feels better. They say you can't have revival in the winter because you need to have it in the spring when everybody feels better. Or in the fall after school starts. where did we get this information from? I'm going to tell you where we got it from. Looking at boxes. You know what God told Jeremiah? He said, don't look at their faces. Kevin, I learned this a long time ago. I've been preaching since I was 17 years old. 17 years old. I've been preaching that long. 8 years. And I learned this, Brother Eddie, a long time ago. Man, when I first started preaching, I'd look at people, and I'm telling you, it'll mess you up. It'll mess you up. You're up there giving your heart, and people are like, you fasted, prayed, got ready for this revival. Preacher's playing with the grandbaby while you're up there tearing it up. I don't know if y'all know this or not, but I can look at you without looking at you. I can look around, never see you. It's a talent. It's a skill. Sometimes when you're sleeping, you do catch my eye. I actually see you. Eddie put my heart at rest with that. He said, Damon, when they sleep, that means they trust you. You know why he said don't look at their faces? Because sometimes the box can discourage you. Sometimes when people look uninterested, it can discourage you. Let me tell you what really cools your jets. Man, when you're excited and you go to a brother in the Lord, and you're like, you know what I think we can do? I think we can have a revolution. You're like, eh, probably not going to work. I mean, you expect it from the enemy, right? But you don't expect it from your brethren. Boy, you get down, and when you get down, the devil loves that because the devil says, you ain't nothing. What makes you think you can do that? I can't, man. I'm just a box. But there's something inside me that if I can transfigure that and get it moving from the inside to the outside, I don't care what the weather is, you can have a move of God. So the reason I had you pray for the person beside you, because most of us in here go through the same thing. Most of us feel inadequate at times. Most of us feel like we're not enough at times. I can't. Let me tell him. I'm sorry, Johnny. I can't preach like Eddie. Now he says it's okay. This sermon just fixed Johnny. We're on good terms now. But I got to give what's in here. I'll tell you this story and I'm going to let you go. Man went to Bible college. And every Wednesday, they would have a sermon. Different ministers would preach. He invited his friend to that chapel service all the time. Wanted his friend to be saved. Kept inviting him, witnessed to him. And the guy would never come. The guy telling the story, he says, and then he said there was a Wednesday that he showed up. He said, I was so excited. He said, until I found out who was preaching. He said, it was the worst student. It was the worst of the worst. He said, the guy had a speech impediment. He said he struggled keeping a thought through the sermon. He was scattered in his sermon delivery. He said, of all people to preach, when my friend finally comes, it had to be him. Why him? He got up and he did exactly like he thought he would. He stammered through his sermon. The thought didn't flow. He was all over the place. And he said, he sat there and he said, man, why today, God? Why today? At the end of his sermon, he started to give an altar call. Dustin, he made this statement. He said, if you don't want to go to hell, come up here and pray. No elaborate altar call, no good words, no stories to make people emotional, none of that. Just if you don't want to go to hell, would you come up here and pray? He said his friend looked over at him and he said, is that what you've been trying to say all this time? He said, I don't want to go to hell. Will you go with me to pray? That minister said, I felt so small. He said, yeah, that's what I've been trying to say, man. That's what I've been trying to say. He said, let's go pray. And his friend gave his life to Jesus that day. You know what he was doing? He was looking at the box. He was looking at the vessel. But boy, sometimes God can say a whole lot with very little. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand up, stretch out. You've been sitting too long. And I want you to do inventory right now. Not about what you look like. Not about how talented you are. Not about how pretty you are, and not about how ugly you are. But I want you to think about who resides in you. Not your box, what's in your box. Not your vessel, what's in your vessel. If Jesus Christ is living inside of you, you are a force to be reckoned with. Quit letting the devil lie to you and say you're not enough. If he put his stamp and his seal on you, you're enough. You're not just enough, you're more than enough. You're not just a conqueror, you're more than a conqueror. You're not just able, you're more than able. Now, would you take a minute and worship him? Because you have been fearfully and wonderfully made. Can I challenge you? Can I challenge you? Can I challenge you this year? Get your thought process off of you and get your thought process on him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let me ask you a question. What can Christ do through you? As they sing this song, Don, I want you to come up here. He's going to stand in for Diana, and we're going to pray. We do this every service. You know why? Because I don't want you to leave without the Word of God having its chance to do a work in your life. She's got a decision to make, and we're going to pray that she makes the right decision. We're going to pray for her strength and her healing.